When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
Welcome, one and all for one and all that jazz, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between. It's all inclusive here at And the Podcast Will Rock. Welcome back to the show, everybody. And not a moment too soon, because we are coming down to the wire. Tick tock, here it goes. We're not done yet, but there's very few left on the infamous wheel, so you came at a really great time. But if it's your first time here, first of all, I will say thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. And you've got quite a lot to catch up on. But we are the podcast that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. And we do it one track at a time. I am your co-host, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, are you feeling sad at the dwindling numbers of what's left on the wheel?
Yeah, I keep bringing up the wheel, Mark, and we're like seven songs to go. And yeah, it's getting a little sad, but we have so much left to go, too. We still have live ranking shows. We're doing Van Halen trivia. For all you folks out there, you're going to be able to see that and hear that next week. We're recording it this Friday night. Mark and I, mm-hmm. and our special guest this week, the lovely Kelsey, again, is joining us. Is going to be there as well. So that's going to be great. The winner, as long as it's not Mark or myself, will be winning themselves a 100% Van Halen expert t-shirt coming their way very, very soon. So we still got a lot. And I still want to do kind of a revisit episode where we each like pick a track and revisit it. And maybe let's get the poll numbers, because the fact that Panama is so damn low and Little Guitars is so damn high, I'd still like to equal that out a little bit if I could.
I agree. There's a lot to... Lot to play around with, maybe we throw that to the patrons. Maybe that's a patron exclusive. Like, which ones should we go to first? Which ones should we revisit? The revisit episodes. I don't know. Lots to talk about, but you're right. We got to get those numbers up. Well, right away, I can tell you straight up that Corey and I will not be winning trivia for this next week, because we cannot allow ourselves to wear a 100% expert on Van Halen t-shirt, because we are not experts, as I explicitly explain every single week, because we are contractually obligated to say so. We're not really, but I like saying that because it's funny and it's true. So yes, you heard it right. Welcome back to the show, Kelsey Van Halen. What's up, Kels?
Hi, y'all. Excited to be here as always. Thank you. And now I gotta study up, because I kind of want that t-shirt.
There you go.
You need that t-shirt for sure. So yeah, study up, go back to the books, read up. I'm assuming Kevin Brown will probably take a lot of questions from those books, because he's Kevin Brown, and according to Corey, the man is a monster.
No. Kevin is my bestest friend of all time, and I know he's going to throw me a couple of softballs on trivia night. So hi, Kevin. We all love you. Mark called you a son of a bitch, though, earlier. You weren't here for that, and he called you an asshole last week. Just keep that in mind when you're doing Mark's questions.
I'll admit to the asshole part, but not the son of a bitch. Okay. I would never, not unless to his face, be like, listen here, you son of a bitch. Maybe I'll say it on trivia night when I'm like losing very badly. I'm like, listen here, you son of a bitch, ask me an easy question.
Well, you know what? Kevin Brown actually helped us out with a little something today too. It's a little extra bonus segment here, and it specifically involves our friend Kelsey. And it was suggested by Scott regarding Van Halen 3 Monroe. He had a suggestion for a segment on tonight's show. he calls it Kelsey Van Halen. And he did a little pun with your name there. Yeah, Kelsey Van Halen. Sorry, I screwed that up the first time. But basically, it occurred to Scott that people pronounce Van Halen in a couple of different ways. The ways that he's heard it are Van Halen, Van Halen, and Van Halen. And even Van Halen, like all one word spoken very fast. What is your pronunciation for Van Halen? And then I got Kevin Brown, who knows everybody across the globe. He actually got a Dutch friend, and he called him and said, what is the exact pronunciation of the name Van Halen? So we're going to play the actual proper pronunciation. But Kelsey, how do you pronounce Van Halen?
Well, I think I know what the actual pronunciation is.
Oh, let's hear it.
Van Halen. Isn't that what it is? Have you guys seen that video of Dave going around Amsterdam and then they run into, and he's like, oh, Van Halen. That's, I'm pretty sure what it is, but I say Van Halen.
Okay.
But that's just the Midwestern in me.
Right.
Mark, Van how do you Halen. Say it?
I mean, well, as a Southern American, of course, I say Van Halen. But no, yeah, I think Kelsey's right. Just considering where their name originates and everything, I think it actually probably is pronounced Van Halen. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't have any umlauts over that A in Halen, so maybe it's not Van Halen, but it's like Van Halen is probably correct, I think.
Well, I think you're a little long on that first O. Let's go to Kevin Brown, and this is the proper pronunciation.
Okay.
Apparently, it should be pronounced Van Halen.
Just like Kelsey said, Van Halen. Yeah.
There we are.
So we got to send Kelsey a prize now. She won, right?
Yep. You won. You get a shirt. There it is.
That's one of my favorite.
You're the expert.
Favorite videos of them. Where, and then they do the hello, hello, and then Dave jumps into all their arms.
Well, if we're sending Kelsey a t-shirt, we should give her the David Lee Roth temporary sex office t-shirt.
I mean... Yes, absolutely. And that's perfect. For those of you that don't know what that is, you need to tune into the show, find the reference, and then head on over to podcastlerock.com, go to our merch store and pick up the shirt. Once you see the shirt, you'll know. And once you've heard the episode, then you really know. So that's what we have in store for you at a merch store. Lots of inside jokes, little insider baseball, if you will, and you'll get it. You'll get the whole brunt of it if you listen to the show more regularly. So speaking of listening to the show, what say we get this going? Corey, tell me, what is going down in the world of Van Halen news?
Oh, man, we have got a ton of stories at the Van Halen news desk. Everybody should go to www.vhnd.com to get their Van Halen fix. Let's check them out here. Wolfgang Van Halen brought out the Frankenstein on Chris Shiflett's podcast. What's it called? Shred with Shifty, I think it's called. Shred with Shifty. He brought out the Frankenstein and actually settled an argument, because a lot of people would go back and forth. What is the actual name of that guitar? Is it the Frankenstein or is it the Frankenstrat? And Wolfie said, well, Dad always said you call it whatever the fuck you want. It didn't really matter to him, but he said actually written on the guitar case is Frankenstein. So the official name is Frankenstein for that classic guitar. So go check out that podcast there with Chris Shiflett, guitar player for the Foo Fighters. Where can you listen to a podcast about the Foo Fighters? I don't know. Maybe check out the Ultimate Catalog Clash. We're doing Foo Fighters this season on that show.
I actually heard from a Dutchman it's pronounced Frankenstein, but okay. we can semantics.
Is that Dutch or German?
It would be German in this regard, okay. but a Dutchman told me maybe he was wrong. I don't know.
Gotcha. Frankenstein. There you go. Thank you very much for that pronunciation. This was actually a story that Darren Paltrowitz and Eric Sandich sent me last week. I didn't, not in enough time to get it on the show, but Sammy Hagar is getting his own day on Axis TV. So Friday, April 14th, I believe it is. It's all day Sammy Hagar. Man, the lineup for this thing is absolutely unreal. We're going to kick off with a concert film, Sammy Hagar and the Wobbos, Living It Up. And then we're going to get Sammy's jam sessions with Daryl Hall, all of his friends. He's done shows with Willie Nelson, Cheech and Chong, Billy Gibbons. Then he's a member of the Eddie Money Tribute Concert featuring Sammy, James Hetfield, Joan Jett, Huey Lewis. I'm really looking forward to that one, to be honest with you. Eddie Money Tribute Concert, that's going to be fantastic.
My God.
You hear that, all our American listeners? When you're doing your last minute taxes day before they're due, you can have a grand playlist of Sammy Hagar to listen to whilst you do it. So you know, get them taxes ready. And by people, I mean this guy. But yeah, that's
me too.
It's
like, it's
mine,
okay.
I mean, luckily mine are super easy this year, so fine. But that's cool though. I love that they're giving him the day, and it's just going to be round and round it goes all day, sort of just Sammy Hagar. So if you're into that, you're going to have a great old time. And if you're not, then just don't watch, I guess. Yeah.
Sunday, April 14th. And I can tell that neither of you have kids, because as soon as I got my T4s, I had my taxes done because I need that fucking rebate. But for Canadian listeners and watchers, I'm not sure if we're going to get, because we don't have Access TV up here. So you may have to check your local listings. Call your cable provider and find out where you can watch Sammy Hagar Super Sunday on April 14th. But if I can get it, I'm really
bound to be streaming
to it.
Somewhere.
It's got to be somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's go back. Here we got Joe Satriani. He continues to unravel the mystery of Edward Van Halen's technique. He's currently on the road with Steve Vai, doing the audio interview now and then, and just talking about the daunting task of trying to pay tribute to Eddie Van Halen. He said, you know what? The stuff I can do, I can do, and the stuff I can't, I'm just going to give like a little wink to the audience and work around it, and the ones that know will know. And I thought that was a really kind of a cool way to approach it. Like, you know what, I may not be able to do this part, but I'll work around it, give you a little nod, and you'll know, like, okay,
yeah.
Yeah. You're not Eddie, that. I get it, that's fine. Yeah.
That's exactly what my approach would be. It's just like, come on, you know I can't do this. Just, you all know, it's fine. Let's just have fun. Yeah. I'm trying up here.
And that's the only way to approach it, really, right? With like,
yeah, you know, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Because you can't replicate Eddie. You can't. Don't try.
All right. I loved this article. Billy Sheehan gave an interview about his time in the David Lee Roth band and the limited stage access on David Lee Roth's Skyscraper tour. He wasn't on that tour. In part because of the duct tape rule, in that David Lee Roth apparently put duct tape on the stage. Members of the band were not allowed to cross it. And he thought that was stupid. He said, you know, for the Eat 'Em and Smile tour, like Billy Sheehan and Steve Vai, they're running all over the place. It was like a real band, but for some reason on the Skyscraper tour, David Lee Roth put duct tape on the stage and guys weren't allowed to cross it. And the guy doing this interview was like, are you really? Like, how do you know you weren't on that tour? He said, let's just say I know that one band member crossed the tape one night and got in a hell of a lot of trouble. And
I wonder if he had like pyro on that tour or something. That's the only like logical reason I could think of, like, hey, we're having a lot of pyro, or it's doesn't have a lot of stage room, don't cross this. But otherwise, I can't imagine. I mean, it's Dave, so he could have a million reasons. But
Skyscraper was pretty involved tour. Like, that's the one where he was on the surfboard across the over top the crowd surfing. And the big boxing ring came down and covered the stage for a bit. So it was pretty involved. So it may have had something to do with that. But I know Billy didn't like the duct tape or the fact that they were pre-recording all the harmony vocals to play on a tape during the tour. He said, that's not my thing. He said, I'm not on that tour, but you can still hear me on that tour because they used my vocals.
I'm of two minds with that story. One, why duct tape? Why not strike tape, you know, for the stage?
Right.
Yeah.
It's easier that way. But I guess if you're trying to make a statement, sure, duct tape. And then two things also. The second thing is, no, I'm sorry. Whatever my second point was, I've lost it because I'm stuck on the duct tape thing. Like, why duct tape? Why would you do that?
Wonder what are you using? Black shiny duct tape? Like, what are you using? I'm so confused.
Yeah. I don't understand that. But that's a shame. But it's Dave.
Yeah, that's right. All right, we got a couple more to go here. There's a great article actually, an interview with Valerie Bertinelli, and she talks about the wonderful place that her and Eddie were at the end of his life, and talking about, you know, being there for, especially for her son, who's about to lose his dad. And,
yeah,
you know, and this is from a cookbook. Apparently she's on doing the rounds right now, doing interviews for a cookbook. And one of the essays, she talks about her final days with Eddie Van Halen. Pretty heady stuff for a fucking cookbook. It's like, okay, here's my cinnamon bun recipe. Also, my ex-husband's dead. Let me tell you all about it. Kind of a weird crossover, but if you want to pick up Valerie Bertinelli's cookbook, she's got some stories in there.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of topical in the sense that when's the last time you looked up a recipe online, like you Google how to do something, you find the recipe and you have to scroll 10 pages down to get to it because the first 9 pages are the author going, So this dish makes me think about this time in my life when I had a pet turtle, and for some reason the turtle didn't do what I wanted it to do because it wasn't a dog, and it like goes through all this shit. Like, but anyway, here's how you make spaghetti. And so maybe she's doing that. Maybe it's sort of a therapeutic experiment for her. Like, she's putting together this cookbook because she obviously enjoys cooking. That must be a thing, putting the ingredients together. And then maybe also in the process of putting it together and putting together these dishes that are featured, it kind of helps with the grief of losing her husband, or just, grief comes in. It's funny. Grief is funny sometimes, and we have various ways of how we go through it. So, and this is also just me speculating here, because otherwise I agree with you, Corey. Like, why would you put that in a cookbook all of a sudden? Like, oh, by the way, about my husband who's deceased. And it's like, but also it's Valerie Bertinelli, and everyone knows who her husband was. Everyone knows. And she can't escape that. I don't think she's trying to escape that. She's just, this could be just her going, okay, I know why some of you are here. You know, the cookbook, sure, but also you want some insider knowledge, some tea. Here you go. Here's an anecdote about Eddie.
You know what?
It could be any of those things or none of those things.
That was a really good point, though, about, you know, food kind of, you know, helping through grief and stuff. And my day job, I'm a TV producer, and I was meeting with somebody about a new series. And we decided we're going to call it Food Fixes Everything, because no matter, you know, it doesn't matter kind of what your differences are. If there's something bad in your life, food can kind of help with that. So maybe there is something to that. And
I read her, I think it's called Enough Already. It was like her last book or one of her last books, but I read that, and she, a good chunk of it was talking about like her final years with Ed and like their relationship they had. And I was like, I remember I was like on a plane reading it, and I was in tears because she was talking about, I remember there was a specific one about their last Thanksgiving together. They all celebrated it together with like his second wife, and then her and her husband or her ex or whatever. And, but what she talks about was like so emotional, and their last, like one of their last conversations and stuff. And I was like, damn, I didn't expect to get this out of the book, but I was like, it was really, really, it was a good like full circle moment, but it was like really sad. And I was like, this is heartbreaking to know, but you know.
Well, in happier Valerie Bertinelli news, she was on The View, and I guess they had to bleep her out a couple times because she dropped a couple swears. So swearing Valerie Bertinelli is always my favorite Valerie Bertinelli. So
that's hilarious.
I thought that was pretty cool. Just a couple more to go here. This is really cool. Introducing the Van Halen Collection 1978 to 1984, the 6 LP exclusive limited edition box set. This had come out before, but they're actually adding more stuff, including some tour laminates. You can kind of see them there in the picture there. This is available only on the Van Halen store, I believe. You're getting almost like you did with the Collection Volume 2 that came out with the Sammy stuff this year. You're getting the 6 LPs remastered on 180-gram vinyl. It's the 2015 remasters. There's a backstage pass for each album tour, the original inner sleeves, and the David Lee Roth fold-out poster for Women and Children First. Here's kind of a better look. There's the records there and the covers. There's the backstage passes. There you get. There's insides there, and here's a good shot of
the... So if anyone's looking for a birthday present for Corey, here you go.
I think it's like $170 U.S. On the Van Halen store. By all means, send it my way. I'll give you my address and stuff. It's got to happen. I got to get this fucking thing. Even though I already own all these albums, I'm going to own them again. I'm a sucker for this kind of shit.
But it's in a nice, pretty collection.
And there's backstage pat. There's laminates. Come on.
Yeah, there's laminates.
You got to help me convince my wife. What's a good way that I can go to her and say, come on, honey, I really need this $200 box.
You see what I'm doing here? Like with the encouragement, it's because like these are the conversations I kind of have to have when I want to collect stuff. And the lady is just, why? Why do you need that? Why is that important? It's like, because I want it and it's cool.
Come on.
Exactly. Come on, please. I don't play games. I don't have like a bunch of consoles or nothing. Yeah. I just like, I collect these things.
Yeah, I don't have a cocaine habit or anything. Like, come on, let me have this one thing.
Drugs.
I put up with the
not
fucking
doing
cat.
Illegal drugs. Yeah.
All right. And finally, the tales behind Edward Van Halen's classic car sales. This is a lot of fun. I think Eric said, no, Jeff Goebel actually posted this one. Car expert and lifelong Van Halen fan, Joe Petralia shared his experience selling two of Edward Van Halen's classic cars in a new video. And really watch the video because there's a great little tidbit, too. Petralia had a surprise meeting with Eddie at his L.A. home where Edward handed him his recently removed hip bone frozen in a Ziploc bag.
Nice.
You imagine just showing up to Eddie's house, he's like, here, hold this. Oh, what's that? Oh, it's my hip.
It's my hip.
Nothing surprises me. Nothing surprises me here, and especially concerning bones, you know, especially when you live with someone who likes to collect bones as a hobby. So, yeah, no, I wouldn't be shocked by that.
And that is all the news that's fit to print on the Van Halen News Desk. Remember, www.vhnd.com, and get to the shop. You want to get that vinyl box set before it goes out of print. It's only available there. And, of course, Alex's book will be coming out this October. If you pre-order it through the Van Halen shop there, you get a special little prize. I still haven't been able to get from Eric Sinich what that is, what the little token is, but I'm going to keep trying. And I just want to point out, it is a surprise. We got a ton of great people in the chat. Josh is there. Scott's there. Haskin and Monroe. Chaz is there. And Ryan Powell. We haven't seen Ryan Powell in the chat in a long time. Just wanted to say hey to our good buddy Ryan Powell, who's talking about honey on his melon for some reason. they're doing food puns in the chat. I don't know. We're just going to keep it at that. So I'm going to throw it back over to you, Mark.
Sure. Why not? I guess it's that's my cue to go on to the next segment. And the next segment, of course, is where we talk about what went down last week. And by that, I mean, what song did we cover and how did you vote? Well, last week we covered Big Bad Bill. We have completed the Diver Down journey, as a word. Yet another, as we told you, what happened, the further down we got on the wheel, which means more albums are going to be completed in their cycle, which means that's more for us to talk about and rank. With Big Bad Bill, that was this one was a different one, a cover, of course, and you know everyone loves Van Halen covers. Apparently, I'm being very sarcastic. This one, I wasn't sure. Usually I have a pretty good guess, Corey, about how I think the voting is going to go. This one, I wasn't sure. I was just kind of curious to see what would happen. And here's what happened. 83.4% got the votes, What Dreams Are Made Of versus a 16.6. Dream Is Over. And my only guess is, it's not in the 90s for a couple of reasons. One, it's a track that comes from Diver Down, which our audience has repeatedly told us is not their favorite. Some say it's their worst album, which I don't agree with that whatsoever, but fine. I didn't think this one was going to reach a high voting status in terms of the dream or What Dreams Are Made Of, but 83.4%. Did you have any sort of prediction for the voting on this song?
Well, if you'll remember, we actually took predictions last week. I think you said 75. I said 78.
You're right.
And but Kelsey, didn't you guess 83 on the nose?
I think I said 82.
82? Because Kevin, I think, said 81, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So
yeah, I think I said 82, if I remember.
All right. Well, Kelsey wins another prize, I guess. You better send her something here.
83.4. Yeah, that's a hell of a good guess, because yeah, there it is, out of almost 200 votes too. But it's still 83.4. That's a respectable number, I think, especially all things considered.
Low on the Dave scale. Yeah, if you look, it's settled between Pound Cake and Black and Blue, both Sammy tracks.
Wow.
It's ahead of Can't Get This Stuff No More and Stay Frosty and Fools. But it's just below You're No Good, which that's actually not bad, actually, for Big Bad Bill. It's actually 54th on our rankings out of, what are we at here for total shows? 116. So 54 out of 116 for Big Bad Bill. That's pretty respectable.
But is it higher than Panama?
No, Panama is, okay. Panama had 90%, so.
That's just me trying to get a rise out of you in case that was.
Don't even.
Because, look, I agree with you.
Panama's 28. On the
that
rankings.
That makes no sense to me.
Me either.
I don't get it. You all confuse me out there, but I need to know. I need to know what it is about Big Bad Bill that kind of either turned you on or turned you off about it. So let's go on over to the tweets under the poll. And if you want your tweets guaranteed read on the show, you know what you got to do? You got to join the Patreon. That's right. Podcast will rock. at Patreon. I believe, I don't know if that's the full link, but we always have the link in the description.
Yeah, Patreon.com/podcastwillrock.
See, that's very simple. That's so simple. So go over there, find a tier that's right for you. Guarantee you we have it. And you get access to the Discord, which is where the conversations really happen. But you will get your tweet guaranteed read on the show when we do a poll. So moving over to the Sean Geek and Fast Ret podcast. That's our buddy Sean McGinnity and his brother Todd. Let's see what Sean has to say. He says, what's not to like on this one? I won't share all my thoughts. That's on Discord, so I'll have to read it. But suffice to say, if anyone out there has ever played music with a parent, there are many moments in here that remind me of my own parents. This one is for those born into a musical family. I like that. There's a lot behind that. And by musical family, you don't necessarily even have to mean everyone played instruments. And so we all jammed together. Just that I had parents that were very, very into so much in music and raised me on the music that they were listening to. So, you know, it's a bonding experience because that's how I look at it. My dad's not a musician, but man, he is in tune with so much musicianship out there. So he kind of I add him by proxy, so I get it. Cool stuff. Our friend Heath McCoy says, Big Bad Bill often gets a big bad rap for its inclusion of the criminally underrated covers album, in quotations, Diver Down. And because the jazz blues of it is so far ahead, so far afield from the classic Van Halen sound, but the best artists can successfully take detours, and this one is gold. Roth lets fly his bozy boozy bop. I love that he tried to type out some scat. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Let's try again. Roth lets his boozy boozy bop bop side, which he would soon mine to great success on his solo EP, A Strike Against It for some. And it's also a touching look into the childhood of the Van Halen brothers, Van Halen, backing up their dad, Jan, as he cooks on clarinet. It's a rare gem. So there you go, Heath McCoy. Actually, I'm kind of shocked that Heath McCoy is so keen on Big Bad Bill. I shouldn't be, but I am, because sometimes Heath likes to throw a wrench into the cogs whenever we're having a good time. And he's like, nah, let me tell you why this song sucks. But he did not do that this time. So good for you there. All right, moving on to Rava Flave. Our friend Rava Flave says, I never skip this song. It's keeping true to the pattern set by Ice Cream Man, with Dave adding some Louis Armstrong prima flourishes to the lyrics. Example, no, he don't. Alex on brushes and Mikey on stand-up bass, Ed on acoustic and Jan on lead. This is one they should have performed live. Yeah, but, you know, they probably couldn't take their dad with them on tour all the time. So there are logistics to figure out. And I know they probably could have gotten a stand-in musician to play the clarinet for it. But honestly, think about what a Van Halen set sounded and looked like even back then. Putting this in there would have derailed the show entirely. Even if it was at the end, I feel like that would have derailed. People would be like, okay, that was a weird one to end on. But so you can understand. But I love your enthusiasm. All right, moving on to our friend Greg Zito. There is something wonderfully sweet about the brothers making music with their dad. Thumbs up. I thought he put magic in there, but he didn't. I made that up. So, yeah, there is. It's cool when you can get down, do the things you love to do with your folks, and they're cool with it. So that is, that's it for the tweets, at least, from our patrons. Like I said, we had a lot of people comment on this one. So if you want it guaranteed read on the show, have your feelings expressed to the world, then I will read it, but you got to join the Patreon. And as I mentioned, you get access to the Discord. So going over to the Discord where it begins, Scott Monroe starts us off. No, he doesn't. I lied. Davey Lee Smith starts us off. Sorry about that, Scott. We'll get to you. But Davey says, the Dave era of this band were so good at making out of left field choices like this. Could this be magic and happy trails, just the band doing what they do best, not taking themselves too seriously and showcasing their sense of humor? And it seems completely natural to them. Also, Jan Van Halen playing clarinet with their sons? I can't ask for more than that. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm just going to go sing right along with this gem. Hashtag what dreams are made of. Rocking out and jamming the way the gods intended. Good for you. Thank you, Davey. And now Scott Monroe. He says, I'd write a manifesto or a mini-festo, but I'm too busy doing the dishes. I echo everything Heath McCoy and Davey Lee Smith said. I'll just add that the album sequencing is great. For some reason, leading into the full bug. Hashtag what dreams are made of. I love that not even household choring is going to prevent you from letting your little mini manifesto, your opinions fly through. Thank you, Scott. It's awesome. And then Sean McGinnity, the aforementioned Sean McGinnity, he continues, and boy, he's got a lot to say, so bear with me. Here we go. Oh man, does this take me back. For me, this is one of the standout tracks on Diver Down. When I pop on the album, it's the track I look forward to the most. Wow. Although a cover, the song tells a deeper story about Van Halen than the band, and their legacy. It's clear that Ed and Al get their chops from their dad, their swing, and that fun, jammy attitude. In fact, this song is a reminder to all the Van Halen fans out there to tip their hat to Jan, that without him encouraging his sons and actually playing music with them in their formative years, we would not have the Van Halen band. For Dave to bring this song to the band and to have a reverence for Mr. Van Halen, to actually encourage having Jan play clarinet was perhaps the classiest thing Roth has ever done. Dave may have fucked with a lot of people, but he didn't fuck with Jan. On so many levels, this song is about me and Todd and our dad. Dad was a wild one before he met our mother, but something about mom tamed him, softened his sharp edges. This song is the Van Halen story, with emphasis on their father and where their music sprouted from, and when I hear it, it's about us too. Van Halen was far more than bass, guitar, drums, and standing leg kicks. This shows a versatility that few other bands had. The enduring appeal to Van Halen is not necessarily that they can rock out with Panama, Unchained, or Running with the Devil, but that they can hit it on all gears for songs like this one, Push Comes to Shove, and Secrets. Van Halen News Desk wrote a great story on Jan, and for those out there missing their dads like we are, take a read on Jan's story. It's one for the ages, and he provided a link to that to the Van Halen News Desk. And he also adds, sorry for being long-winded. This song showing up on the eve of our dad's passing is far more than coincidence. Wow. Did not know that. That's incredible. And thank you, Sean, for sharing your story and sharing why you and Todd both have such a connection to Big Bad Bill, and specifically this version of Big Bad Bills. Thank you, man. That's awesome. And I guess, yeah, that's one to think about. You know, that's we crack jokes and we say, like, well, that's out of the norm sometimes, but we don't take into account what some of these songs mean to people on a deeper level. And it's cool. I'm glad to hear it. This is why the Discord exists, for stuff like this.
And the wheel works in mysterious ways, right? Because
yes, it does. That's true. We did not pick Big Bad Bill. The wheel did. So universe, man, it's crazy. Our buddy Chad says, I sure miss my buddy Bill. I think of him fondly. Most Fridays, we'd end up at the local watering hole. And let me tell you, Bill loved two things, drinking and fighting. I remember this one time when a dude walked in wearing a suit, holding a Pomeranian and ordered a Zima. Well, Bill didn't like that, so he snatched the Pomeranian out of this fella's hands and busted the Zima bottle over his head. Well, I tell you what, nothing good came of that Pomeranian. In fact, it was that night I lost my friend Bill. Walking home from the bar, Bill made eyes with a pretty little lady. She winked at Bill and told him he was handsome and especially fetching holding the dog. Bill blushed, smiled, and introduced himself. She corrected his name to William, shooed me off, and I haven't seen him since. Like I said, I sure miss my friend, but those great memories are what dreams are made of. Thank you, Chad, for that.
Hell yeah, for that anecdote.
That's awesome. Good stuff. Ryan Powell, our good buddy Ryan Powell, he says, and he at the top states it, he's like, sorry for jumping back into the mix with a long one, but a lot to say about Big Bad Bill in two parts. This song, more than any other, represents the roots of Van Halen, not any of the classics on the eponymous debut or the early demos or backyard repertoire. While it seems like Big Bad Bill is an out-of-character, one-off, fun departure, it represents the essence of Van Halen. It's kind of like what Sean was talking about. I remember something clicking in my head when Kenny Wayne Shepherd described Van Halen as heavy metal swing. It absolutely nailed what made Van Halen unique and stand out. Van Halen is swing music with electric guitars. This is the music Ed and Al cut their teeth on growing up with their dad, Jan, and it shows. These aren't rock musicians dipping their toes into another album, unfamiliar genre for fun. This is home for them, and they absolutely excel. This is also my bread and butter, as I lead a big band swing group, and yes, Big Bad Bill is in our repertoire, so forgive the indulgence. Awesome. I didn't know that about you, Ryan. That's cool. That's so cool. Talk more about that. Al is perfectly in the pocket, pushing things forward with a shuffle beat on the brushes and being just on the front side of the beat, while Ed's 2 and 4 accents on the rhythm guitar are relaxed and on the back side of the beat, creating a perfect tension that exemplifies a swing groove. Mike fits in well enough on upright, and this is right in Dave's wheelhouse with the gravely delivered gravely delivery, is what he's saying. Jan is absolutely the star of the show on the clarinet, with dark, resonant tone and effortless delivery that is all the more incredible for playing after having lost his right middle finger. As an aside, and finally in my domain here as a clarinet expert, clarinet notes don't play unless the tone holes are properly covered and sealed with the fingers, specifically the thumb, index, middle, and ring finger on the left hand, and the index and ring finger on the right hand. The pinky fingers are then used to depress the other keys to make various pitches. Many notes will not sound if the right middle finger is not covering that corresponding tone hole, meaning Jan needed to shift his ring and pinky fingers up to fill that hole, leaving no finger to hit the keys below. That he played at all, much less so fluidly, boggles the mind. He had a whole career of muscle memory to unlearn and relearn. I get to play Jan solo when we cover the song, and tried and failed miserably to play it without my right middle finger.
Wait, you didn't cut off your right middle finger, right? Yeah.
Keep the finger. I was like, no, he hit it. You know, like, I love that you tried, though. That's great. And then he concludes with, the song itself tells a fun and sweet story of a man's life changing for the better thanks to his wife, something I can absolutely relate to, and perhaps part of the reason this was always one of Melissa's favorites that I love playing for. The joy of their playing is palpable, and it's a special track that Ed and Al were able to have collaborated on with their dad. More than anything, though, it is a nostalgic snapshot of the Van Halen brothers' musical upbringing and tells a powerful story of what makes Van Halen so special at their core. They can swing. Hashtag what dreams are made of. Man, that was a lot, Ryan, but I love that you told it. I absolutely love that entire spiel. Thank you so much. Great stuff. And you know what happy he says? To have you back in the conversation.
Absolutely. He had to put in the chat, though, that he found the post length limit on Discord with that manifesto. So.
Hey, there you go. So if anyone needs a template of how far the manifestos can go, there it is. Jeff Brewer says, so far I only downvoted one song, and it was because it was a cover tune that sounded too much like the original and not enough like Van Halen. I don't know what the original sounded like, but I'm guessing Van Halen's version is similar, except for maybe the lead clarinet. Call me inconsistent, but I'm not voting this down. I don't listen to this much. But they really pulled this off. Dave did a great job with the genre, and the Van Halen hard rock brothers playing with their father in his element is just a great moment in Van Halen history. Yes, the Van Halen boys could swing like they did in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. So Jeff he's all that to say Jeff did not downvote this song. So good job. You're not the 16%. And Chaz Mataz, old Chaz Charles, says, Big Bad Bill, how can you not love this song? Jan is amazing. So much fun. The true musical spirit of the family and will live on forever. Hashtag what dreams are made of. So thank you all so much. I know I stumbled across all that for a while, but it's all good. It's just because I was so excited to read it. And I try to do a good job when I read these things out loud and online to the world, and sometimes the stutter takes effect, so hey, I try my best.
Great job. That's a lot of reading. Like Ryan Powell gave you a maxi festo just to try and screw you up, but you pulled through perfectly.
He did. No, but that's pretty good. Thank you. So, all right. Well, with all that being said, now we get to have some real, real fun, and we go do the thing that we love to do before we spin the wheel. Say it with me and take a shot, everybody. Manifestations. Woo.
All right.
Beer, 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 beer. We need like a sound bite there. Well, it's
too late.
I got that one.
Yes, actually, and that's appropriate because of, I mean, look how many songs we have left. Not many. Oh boy. But the question remains, what is everyone going to be manifesting this week? Because look, there's only so much we can manifest, so it's kind of, I know some people are probably just like, I don't even know what to manifest anymore. So you know what, Corey, let's start with you.
All right.
It's you know, I don't know if your week's been good or bad or just kind of okay, but we're here talking Van Halen, doing the thing that we love to do with what we have left. What do you want to manifest on the show tonight?
I tell you what, there's a growing chorus in the Discord that is very upset. First of all, we haven't taken Atomic Punk off the wheel to save it for the last show, but they're all calling for Josefina just to make sure we don't end the show on Josefina. And with great apologies to our best good friend, Kelsey. So, so beautiful. I'm sorry. I'm going to manifest Josefina just so we can get it.
Boo.
We're going to get it over and done with here tonight. And I know if Ryan Powell stays in the chat, he's going to defend this thing too. So I want to hear some positive comments on Josefina. To be honest, that I don't really remember that song. So it's almost going to be like a first time listen for me. So I'm kind of looking forward to it anyway. Maybe it's going to be one of the good ones from Van Halen 3. So me and a lot of people in the Discord are going to be manifesting Josefina.
He's Corey is officially ready to rip that Band-Aid off.
Let's do it.
But I throw it to Kelsey. Kelsey, you're back. A twofer, two in a row on the show. Back-to-back episodes. Awesome. So with what we have left, what would you like to manifest?
Well, first of all, I want you guys to know that I was looking up. I used to have this app that is a David Lee Roth soundboard, and I was looking for it on my phone, but it wasn't working. That's why I muted for a second, because I didn't want you to just hear just David screaming in the back, but it wasn't working. Otherwise, I would have done it. But
I would have never known, because Corey just likes to do that randomly at times, just a Dave howl here and there. Wow. And so, yeah, right. it would have been apropos.
It was a great app. I don't know why it's not working, but I think I did Little Dreamer last time. So this time I'll do Atomic Punk, because I do love that song. So I'll manifest that one.
All right.
Look at that. Look, she's going against the system there. Just like, no, take the Atomic Punk off, everyone. But there is one person that does agree with you, and that is Sean McGinnity himself. He is saying, Atomic Punk, give it to me. He wants it. He does not want to wait. He does not want us to hold off for the last show. He's ready to jam now. Well, time will see. Josh says, let's end this, Josefina. And you have been manifesting that, I think, for a month straight, maybe two. And I get it. He has been... Josh is one of those, he's had his hand on the Band-Aid and he's just like very slowly pulling to where it's just like caught in the hairs and it's like on the skin. It's like, please just let me rip this off. He's like, I don't know. The wheel might want you to suffer a little bit more, but who knows? But Greg Zito says, agree. Get Josefina off that wheel. Can't have that one in contention for the last show. I agree with him. It's not up to us, though, but it's like,
here.
Yeah, it's like Kelsey's here. Like, should we? I don't know. Jeff Brewer says, yeah, I would really prefer not going on the record warning Josefina. But since the show's producers are not yet doing the right thing by making Atomic the final spin, Josefina needs to be dispatched forthwith. you hear him talking shit about you, Corey?
Me? That was you that said there's no way we're finishing with Atomic Punk. Leave it
he
on
said
the
producers, like, no. Corey's the producer.
So there's two of us.
I just kind
of
host. I just kind of host here. That's what I do. Oh, but I love that. Scott Monroe says, well, you know, the villagers are riled up when they aggressively manifest Josefina on a Monday morning. And he's right. These early manifestations came early in the week. So we already know where Scott's going with his vote, so I'm not even going to bother. Tom Armbruster says, and he did this on April Fool's Day, so he didn't believe anybody actually wanted Josefina. Per Lineker says, I'm going to chime in to manifest. Holy shit, this is the first time I think Per Lineker said anything. He says, I chime in to manifest Josefina. Actually, I like that song, but this journey really shouldn't end with that song, so the sooner the better. Wunderbar. Per Lineker coming in like with saying not a word this whole journey only to chime in at this point to go, I'm going to manifest this because you shouldn't end the show this way. I love it. I love that it took you this long. And thank you. And welcome to the Discord, Burr. Oh, man. And please inform us if we've been mispronouncing your name this whole time. I'm quite sure I have, and I apologize. Chad says the fact that it didn't end with happy trails, then it's all moot. So I guess he wants I don't know what you're manifesting there, Chad. But then Scott Monroe surprises everyone with a last minute change. He goes, Little Dreamer. He wants Little Dreamer. I think he wants us to land on Josephina last, though. I think that's his plan. I see what you're doing there. Yeah, I see what you're doing there, Scott. David Lee Smith says the trouble with Never. He wants that one. There you go. We get something different. Josh, once again, Josephina, like we heard you the first time. Ryan Powell says, I'm looking forward to defending Josephina, which I'm certain will be panned by most or all. But tonight, I'm manifesting Aftershock. So he is, okay, look at that. Aftershock, and of course Chaz Mataz, Josephina, for fuck's sakes, come on already. Yeah. He and Josh are right there just holding the bandage, and they just want to just rip it right off so it can be done. I myself personally am not going to manifest Josephina whatsoever.
Thank you.
I'm just not going to do it. I refuse to do it. I don't want it to be our last show. But you know, the wheel is a bitch. So I am going to manifest, and don't tell her I did it, but
uh-oh.
Amsterdam. I'm going to manifest Amsterdam.
Is she there?
Not yet, okay. But she might. She might, if we're lucky, show up at some point.
We'll manifest Christy as we manifest Amsterdam.
Yes, there we go.
Gotcha.
Like,
okay.
Manifest. There we go. So that's my manifestation. There we go. So we got a lot for Josephina. We've got a couple for Atomic Punk, and then some randos here and there. But what do you say we prime this wheel and get started, man?
Let's do it. But first, we had another manifestation that Kelsey keeps yawning her ass off. Shit. So she's going to need some Dave Grohl Fresh Pots.
Just in Fresh Pot!
If fresh no one knows, pot. Yeah, Dave Grohl, he loved his coffee back in the day before he had his little like fucking heart attack because of the coffee. But I don't have any Dave Lee Roth on my board right now. I just got all David Grohl yelling.
Fresh Pot!
That's basically me at the office when it's nice and quiet and there's a fresh pot and it's like, everyone wake up, fresh pot.
All right. Well, we got about 9 people in the chat. We got 3 here, 10, 11, 12. Let's do 12 again.
Yes, an even number.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. All right.
Hit it. Close my eyes.
Here we go.
Don't look.
Oh, it's going to be balance.
Ooh,
take me back, deja vu.
With a random pick that nobody manifests. That this wheel is fickle. We are going back to the Van Hagar era. How about that? I ain't mad at it.
You know what? Balance has been a nice surprise, I think, for a lot of people on this journey, because everyone's like, oh yeah, Balance, that was the last one with Sammy, it's not that good and all, but there's actually a ton of good songs on there. Some of my all-time favorite Van Hagar songs are on there, like Don't Tell Me. Absolutely
Don't
love
Tell
that
Me's
one.
A banger.
Yeah. Seventh Seal, which Joe Satriani was just talking in that interview I referenced earlier. He loves that they put Seventh Seal in the set list. He loves that one, so.
Oh, I love it too, and somebody else is gonna really, really love it if you know, that's when we get to that show, if they still have it on the set. Let's hope.
All right, well, talk amongst yourselves while I cue up the song here.
Is there any sort of feelings, without tipping your hand, about this particular track, Kelsey, that you want to mention before we go into it?
I could not tell you the last time I listened to this song. I'm not even gonna lie. I'm not a big Balance girl. Like I said, I love Don't Tell Me, but otherwise I haven't really delved much into this record. So this will be fun. I'm excited.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Like kind of almost a fresh experience in a way.
Yeah. And I love Sammy. So, you know,
there you go. I'm in the same similar boat. I really like Balance. The show has, enforced my appreciation for Balance, but everyone knows, like, I prefer Sammy as the vocalist, not because I think he's the better front man. I just think he's the better singer when it turned when we were talking about technicalities here, like as like as a technical singer, he's above and beyond what Dave can do. Dave does what he does well. And Van Halen, we all know that. I'm not dissing him. I'm just saying, as a singer, and you know, me being a vocalist myself, I cling to these things. Sammy is just superior in that way. So I've never been mad at the Sammy era of Van Halen. This one for me though is not one that I regularly would jam from Balance. You know, I prefer, you know, Amsterdam or Seventh Seal. I like Can't Stop Loving You despite its
chaos,
but I do enjoy it. You know, it's much more of a really good Van Halen entry than I think a lot of people give it credit for. I think most of the bad rep it takes is because it's, you know, Sammy's you know, last go with him, and it's just, you know, it's a Sammy record with Van Halen, which, as we know, Corey, so many Van Halen fans don't consider in canon, if you will. It's like, nope, it's not part of the Van Halen repertoire. That Van Halen era, that didn't happen. That's not real Van Halen. It's not my Van Halen. Like, no, it did.
Not my
Van Halen. It happens. It's in canon. Just deal with it. Okay. It's fine. It's going to be okay. What about you, Corey? You got any feelings about this song before we go into it?
You know, I'm going to save my feelings for when we get playing it here. I know one Kevin Brown is excited. He's manifested this one a couple of times.
True. I think he's the consistent one.
Shout out, Kevin.
Yeah. But Ryan Powell says Kelsey is imbalanced. You heard it. So
nicely done.
All right. Let's take you all the way back to the last album that Sammy Hagar ever put out with the Van Halen boys. This is the last track off of Balance, a little track called Take Me Back, Deja Vu. Now, before we get into it here, that intro actually was used for a song that dates all the way back to the club days. I'm wondering if anyone in the chat knows the name of that song from all the way back in the club days. Apparently, the music for this song was originally written during the Four Unlawful sessions.
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah,
I can hear that. Yeah.
And it was, yeah, I was just thinking, like, this is one of those Van Halen intros that kind of throw you for a loop when you think you know what you're going to, you think you have, you know what to expect from Van Halen at this point. And then they hit you with this, and not their norm, not their typical. Is that why in parentheses the song's titled Deja Vu?
Maybe.
It's because they brought this back?
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
That would make sense, but especially when you get into the chorus. Let's give it to Josh, the first one in the chat to come up with the actual title. Oops. Forget
no
that.
No More Waiting.
Yep. The original song was called No More Waiting, an unreleased Van Halen song dating back to the band's club days.
Right on, man. Right away, if you didn't know you were listening to the Balance album, I don't think you would know that this was Van Halen right off the bat. Yeah, it doesn't have their typical sound. As I said, they subverting your expectations of what you think they're going to do. Man, they're good at doing that.
All right, let's get back to it.
Are you from a distance? I swore I found you once again. Touched on that feeling for an instant. Could not recall just where or when.
Kevin Brown in the chat just wanted to chime in. Love those slight bends he's doing. That acoustic is mic'd up beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
those
you get
with a
Bruce Fairbairn produced album, right? Like, he's I know there's a lot out there. Chris L. from Pot of Thunder especially hates Bruce Fairbairn, specifically for what he did on the Kiss record Psycho Circus. But every record that I love, I think, was produced by Bruce Fairbairn back in the 80s and 90s. So
I love Psycho Circus.
Oh, my God. I was literally just about to say, like, I think, am I the only one that, well, I don't love Psycho Circus, but I don't hate it. Not, I certainly don't hate it as much as apparently.
Well, that song is good. There's a couple of good tracks on it, but there's a couple of really fucking bad tracks.
And I say, welcome to the show.
So if Kelsey sang it, I'd be more on board.
I agree with you. Yeah, there's a lot of, it's imbalanced, I will say, no pun intended. It's like Psycho Circus has a few like really good solid tracks, and then there's a majority of it that are not so good.
We Are One is one of the worst songs Kiss ever put out. Oh, it's so bad.
One of the worst songs Kiss ever put out, like out of their entire repertoire. Yep.
Great Expectations is right there, dude.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
The A song on that one was good, though. Like, Psycho Circus was good. There are some bangers on that one, but fuck, We Are One is awful.
Awful. Yeah. We Are One's, it's not great, but it's not trying to be anything other than what it is. And honestly, if you really break down, and I'm sure you can, there's probably worse Kiss songs.
Well, Chaz says for that period it was good Kiss. That's like saying, well, I only had malaria for 18 days out of my 20-day vacation. Like,
hey, that's two awesome days. That's all you need. That's a weekend, really.
Yeah, that's the ace track from Psycho Circus and Psycho Circus itself. So now, we should talk a little bit about Sammy, because he actually, you talk about imbalance. He was a little imbalanced when it came to this track. Apparently, he submitted lyrics two separate times to Bruce Fairbairn, and he rejected them. This is his third attempt. But Sammy apparently wanted this song kicked off the record and Crossing Over put on.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I wonder if it was because, as we've mentioned, and I know I'm a big like apologist slash defender of a lot of the things Sammy writes, even when they're not great. But I go like, yeah, but you know, whatever. But I also will admit when Sammy's stuff is just trash lyrically, you know, you can't escape it sometimes. I wonder if that was the case with this one, and Bruce Fairbairn just decided, nope, I don't accept that. And it's like, try again. You can do better than that. And then it's like, and after the second time, like, God damn it. No, I said, you can do better than that. Prove it. Prove you're Sammy Hagar. And I like to think that Sammy rewrote, cause I'm looking at the lyrics here and they're not terrible. They're not bad at all. So I'm wondering if Sammy just dug deep and out of spite, if nothing else, like, all right, fine. I'll write you a fucking, like, you know, cookie cutter. Here's your song. Here you go. Here's the lyrics. Is that good enough? But and apparently, yes, third time was a charm.
That's right. All right, let's keep going.
It's not often you hear some of the palm muting chugs out of Eddie. Mm-hmm. You know, like tick, tick,
tick, tick, tick. Love that.
You know, a little chugging. Yeah, that is awesome. Kind of adds gives it more of the Van Halen flair to this track that it was that in the verses doesn't really have, because as we said, it sounds a little different than what we're used to. But then as you said, the chorus kicks in. Oh, there they are. I love that. I don't love the last line lyrically. Come on, take me back. Oh, deja vu. It was like, that just sounded like you needed a place to put the phrase deja vu somewhere.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, deja vu. Like, ah, come on.
It was always kind of clunky. Sammy. Yeah, no, I'm 100% on board. I really like that chorus until the oh, deja vu section.
Until the oh, deja vu. Yeah. I was like, and here I here I was just kind of like defending Sammy. It's like, oh, look at that. If push comes, you can put out something really great lyrically. And then I wonder if that was what it was. I wonder if the Oh Deja Vu was the catalyst. Bruce was just like, nope, try again. Yeah. And after the third time, he's like, he's not getting rid of that line. It's just going to stay put. So fine. Fuck it.
In the chat, they're discussing whether it has more of an extreme feel or a Sammy solo song. To me, it's a Sammy solo song, especially later period Sammy. I can see this being on a Sammy solo record. I think Ryan even said it would be right at home on 10-13. I totally agree with that. And it was Chaz that said it sounds like an extreme feel. Yeah, a little bit maybe. Especially with the chugs in there, that seems like kind of a new thing.
Yeah,
in the
chorus, yeah, for sure. But leading up to that, like everything in the verses, I would say, yeah, that sounds way more Sammy Solo-esque to me.
Yeah. Tom the chat says, almost disappointed when the electric guitar comes in. I think that's more of an indication of how good the acoustic was, not how bad the electric is, because the electric is pretty good here, too.
Well, when you guys were talking about Sammy's lyrics, not this time before, I was just sitting there and I was like, you know, I haven't really even paid attention because I was just lost in how good Eddie sounds. I was like, oh, I could sit here and imagine that I'm sitting on a beach with Eddie and he's just playing the acoustic. I'm like, that's how good it sounds to me. Yeah. I'm like, I feel like this is a nice, warm, sunny sunset and Eddie's just playing acoustic.
And I think that's what we try to really, I mean, everyone like as Van Halen fans like to focus on, because it's not so much when it comes to Van Halen, the focus is not the lyrical content.
Right.
It's the tonality of the guitars. It's the beat of the rhythm of the drums. It's the Van Halen sound that the brothers created. Like, that's what we tune in for.
Yeah.
The lyrics are just kind of like special ornamentations, and sometimes they're good and sometimes not so much.
Yeah. Hey, Ryan Powell killing it in the chat again. Would be more harmonizing on the verse if it was extreme. That's 100% right. Yeah.
It's funny you say that. I was wondering why I wasn't hearing more harmonizing in those verses. Because, I mean, it's like you got Mikey right there, Sammy. You love singing with him. Harmonize. Yeah. You know he can do it. And, yeah, that chorus was just lacking.
Little underwhelming on the Take Me Back. Yeah, that big soar on that, right? Like something like Dreams or something, even though that was more Sammy than anything, but yeah, a little understated.
I was also thinking, when I read Eruption, Eddie talked about Amsterdam in specific and how he didn't like Sammy's lyrics. So I wonder if it was also the way with this song. I think this whole album, he was kind of like that. Obviously they weren't on the best of terms during this album.
Yeah.
So, but like, I wonder if it was kind of the same way with this song.
So we talk about Sammy lyrics, and that's pretty much a Sammy baloney. You know, some call it fate, some call it superstition, some call it luck. It's all the same. Oh, just one of the mysteries of creation, something you feel but can't explain. If you look into it, you can think, well, that's kind of dumb, but it sounds cool. So I'm kind of on board with it because I kind of like how it sounded.
It's a good rhyme scheme, and it fits the song, and Sammy is singing it very, very well. Like, however you feel about the song thus far, Sammy's singing it well.
Very much.
Yeah, there's that.
Yep. Sammy do be singing.
he do be
Amen,
singing.
Sister.
He do be singing.
Kevin Brown says, y'all know I love Sammy, but this is a dog shit line. Some desert island off Morocco. We had a love so hard to find. Yeah, there's a lot of dog shit lines in this, but it's okay because, you know, I don't know.
You probably didn't want to read the first and second drafts of whatever those lines were.
Imagine the rejected ones. Yeah.
I mean, I do too, just out of curiosity. But something tells me until Bruce Fairbairn stepped in is like, Sammy, you're just going on this rant about Morocco. You got to stop. You're talking about having sex in Morocco. Like, that's what it's all about. Like, no, please stop.
Yeah. Jeff Burr in the chat says canned lyrics, but okay. That's kind of where I sit too. It's not objectionably hilariously bad, like an Up for Breakfast or something like that, so it's okay. But Chaz thinks maybe Sammy's phoning this one in a bit. A tired rock star calling it in.
Absolutely is phoning it in.
Yeah. I still think he sounds good on it. But yeah, he's not delivering this like he would on 5150 if it was on that record.
No, or even on For Unlawful, for that matter. Because he's more than an adequate musician, like he's going to perform it and perform it well, but he doesn't have to give it that extra 10 on top of the 100%. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just like I'm sticking with my hypothesis that this was done out of spite. The lyrics this time around, just because Bruce turned him down twice for drafts, and he's like, you know what? Fine. Here's your dumb cookie cutter, you know, pop single lyrics, standard by numbers. There you go. You happy with that? And Bruce is like, I guess.
Kevin Brown says the original was probably some desert asteroid off the planet. We had a probe so deep and wide. Because, yes. Of course.
I mean, that would... make for a more interesting lyrical piece for sure, but hey, you know, what are you gonna do?
I saw an alien up in her lunch pail. There you go.
Bars.
Courtesy of Chaz Charles.
Bars. I was gonna say that little interlude was really nice. Eddie sounded great in that. I loved that.
Did you like the one soul, one mind kind of ethereal vocal thing he was doing over top of it? I say, you know, fucking get rid of that. But
whatever producing they did on it, I didn't really like that much. But the Eddie's playing, I did like. I was like, ooh, this is very ethereal. I like this.
The playing was fine, but as soon as I heard the one soul, I was thinking.
For me, that doesn't cut it, you know.
God bless Torben Ulrich. All right, let's get back to the song. All right. Had some harmonies there. We had, some pretty cool guitar work. Al decided to kind of wake up and bang on the snare a little bit. So, I don't know. We had a little more Van Halen, I think, pushing that section there.
Do I detect a slide Eddie's using on that solo?
Definitely a slide,
It's nice to hear that. It's, again, that's another little rarity from Van Halen's repertoire, but it's always a welcome addition, and I think it works for a song like this the way it's structured, so that's very cool. It's very cool to hear.
Yep. I tell you, but Chaz in the chat was saying,
I think it's fucking stock. Which part of that is unclear to you?
Although he was a fan of that past section. So what did you think, Kelsey, of that?
The band. No, it was good. Sorry. No, I really liked that. I don't know if you saw me, but I just kind of was like, ooh, this is nice. And there was no singing, so it was good. I think, honestly, like, as I was listening, I was like, Sammy sounds good. I mean, Sammy's like, we all know Sammy has a wonderful voice, and I love Sammy's voice. So, but it was nice to just kind of hear through all this, like, this song with these interesting lyrics. nice to just hear some Eddie. I'm being so mean, but no, it was really nice to just kind of, because I do like Eddie's tone on this and the way that he's playing, so it was nice to just kind of bask in that, I guess.
Well said. All right, let's keep going.
Thank you.
They call that the Fleetwood Mac ending. It did have like a, that sort of a musical outro kind of had this, to me, this sort of like 70s flow to it, mm-hmm. like something similar like that. That's, I don't know. It's interesting stuff. So there you go. Deja vu. Take me back, whichever. It's both, evidently. We took you back to balance and we gave you this track that none of you manifested out there. And if you did, we didn't hear you. So join the Patreon, get on the Discord, and we can hear you. We can see exactly what you manifest. So this one, lots to think about on this one. And I'm sure the chat is going crazy with their opinions and how they feel about it. You guys know where to go when it's time to cast your opinions, cast your votes and what have you. And there's something hilarious happening behind me. I don't know what it is, but it's cool. But anyway, I see. So, well, with that being said, I throw it over to you, our esteemed guest, our honoree panelist and honoree host of the show. Let's go ahead and put you that. You've been on here long enough. So, Kelsey, thanks. I throw it to you. Yes, from the Balance album, Take Me Back, parentheses, Deja Vu. Not a David Lee Roth track, and we know you are such a fan of the David Lee Rothman, but you're not opposed to Sammy, so I have to ask, did Take Me Back, Deja Vu meet the criteria for the dream being, this being what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
I really like the way Eddie sounded in this. And if I wasn't such a strong Van Halen fan, maybe I would have been less critical of Sammy's lyrics. But like overall, I thought the song was good. Like if you're not really listening to, if you're not like a lyricist and you're not like super phoned in on the lyrics, like this is a good song overall. So, but I just think I've listened to so much Sammy and there's also like so much more like descriptive and just better lyrically Sammy, and especially in Van Halen, that I just think this is not like, this pales in comparison, but I think as a song, I think this is a good song.
All right, look at that. So Lita, in spite of it not being Roth, she was still very much yay.
Hey, Sammy, I love Sammy.
I know, I'm gonna have to reiterate that because there's so many pro Rothers out there that just disregard. So there you go. You see, we can all live in harmony. It's all good, man. It's all Van Halen. Corey, you are notorious about loving things that people mostly don't love, and you're notorious about not loving things so many people love. You're a contrarian is what you are. I'm joking, only kind of, because I think I'm the contrarian, but sometimes you throw a fast one. So I ask you, did Take Me Back, Deja Vu take you back to where what your dreams are made of, or did it take you back to the pit of despair where all dreams are over?
Well, I tell you, it was a close one for me. But ultimately, I have to say, if you're deep diving on the song, there's lots of little things you can nitpick, like the lyrics or his delivery or the mix on the harmonies or social little things. But I'm kind of grading this one on just how I enjoyed it as a song. You know what? It's decent enough. It's good. I enjoy this one. I'm looking back on the Balance rankings, and Balance is not doing well as an album. With our audience, the lowest song is 69.9%. That's Can't Stop Loving You. We have three songs tied with 75% coming right after Big Fat Money, Not Enough, and Feeling. I actually downvoted Feeling. I put this well above Feeling, but I'd put it below Not Enough and kind of on par with Big Fat Money. To me, this is kind of middle of the road Balance for me. My standouts are still Seven Seal and Don't Tell Me. But it's good enough. I really like what Eddie's doing. Every once in a while, Alex will throw in a little thing to remind you he's there. Is it great? No, but it's definitely good enough to warrant what dreams are made of. But Mark Meyer, oh man, I can't read you. It's been 127 episodes, and I still don't know what you're thinking. You seem positive sometimes. You seem negative. Like you said, you are the contrarian. You could praise a thing for an entire 40-minute show and then downvote it. I've seen you do it. So the question becomes, are you going to downvote this one? Is this what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
Well, now I know some of you out there are probably going like, what? He would never. And no, I have before, and I'm doing it again. This one, is this on the same level as, let's say, Up for Breakfast? No. Nor some of those other ones that we just go, Sammy, what were you doing? But this one just was kind of, this one just sort of fell flat to me. I spoke about it earlier off air to Kelsey, and I was just like, this song might need to have like a boost or a change or something, because it's kind of bringing me down a little bit. It's not giving me what I need for a solid Van Halen track to give me. There are a lot of really cool things about it, no doubt. I do not despise this song whatsoever. There are moments I really enjoyed. The chorus musically, I think, is really cool. It's very, very cool. I really like Eddie's solo, though it's tamed. But it should be for a song like this, because the song is tamed. It's not, you know, a fast paced, high voltage, rocking Van Halen song. Like, no. They're appealing more to their sort of, you know, more calm demeanor sort of side of it. But it's bringing back, as you said, this is a song they kind of rehashed from their days past. So whether or not you think it's it fits the criteria of solid Van Halen track, I mean, it's up to you. What really did it for me, though, is not so much the lyrics of the song, because, yes, is it, you know, paint by numbers, whatever, cookie cutter sort of pop song standard lyrically? Yeah, it is. But Sammy, as we talked about, feels like he's phoning this one in. And sometimes you can phone it in and get away with it pretty well. And there are probably a lot of tracks that Sammy would admit going, oh, I phoned in all of that. And you go, wouldn't have known it because you're performing it so well. And it's not that he's not performing well in this track for me, but it's just, I guess you can kind of hear the lacklusterness in his voice and just his delivery. And that's a credit to Sammy, because even his delivery, if it is indeed lackluster, is still sounding pretty damn good, because he's just a phenomenal vocalist. So take nothing away from the musicianship, but as a song, as it's structured and the way it's presented, for me, just didn't quite get there. I don't hate it, but it's just not what dreams are made of for me. Therefore, the dream is sadly over.
Well, you made a friend with Chaz Charles. He says, well done, Mark. Well, integrity. Kevin Brown, however, wants everyone to boo this man. And Ryan Powell says, damn it, Mark. So
I know. I knew it was going to happen. I heard it. I felt the gasps as soon as I put my thumb down. But look,
hey, you gotta be true to you.
I gotta be true to me.
That's right.
And in a year's time, maybe a few years, I'll go back to this song and I'll listen to it, and perhaps I'll have a completely different change of heart. And once this podcast is just well in the rearview mirror for Corey and I will message him and go, we got to re-record. We got to do this one again. We got to revisit, because
I'm
seeing things differently now. It's like I'm changed. You know, it could happen. It could happen.
Well,
but
if it helps you, Mark, Ryan, also, I'm very wrong for downvoting Feeling. That was the one track off Balance I downvoted. So we both have one downvote on this record, and we're both wrong, apparently.
Right. Actually, didn't I also downvote Feeling?
No, you upvoted that one.
Oh, I did. Yeah. Okay. Well, then you're wrong, Corey. No, I'm kidding.
Your only downvote was tonight off Balance. So we still got two songs to go, though.
How about that? And there you go. As mentioned to the lurkers, but not mentioned to everyone else. Yeah, if you are one of those out there that just really do not like the Balance album, you're not going to enjoy the next few shows that we do, because we, as Corey just said, we still have two songs left on the wheel. And I believe that's the album that's dominating the wheel right now. Am I right? Or is
we got two left from Van Halen 1 as well. So
Okay. Ooh, so it's a tie.
Yeah.
It's a tie between them. And then we've got the little randos. And now we're doing that. Oh, actually, I think I can win this one.
All right. Well, because I'm playing the music, that means they must have played this song live. It's time to play. How many times did Van Halen play Take Me Back, (Deja Vu) live? Let's start with Mark. Since you're so confident here, you think you have a good shot at this one. Remember, we're playing Price is Right rules. You have to get closest to without going over. How many times did Van Halen perform this song?
Well, you did play this music and play the game for one of the last songs that we did, even though they had never played it live. So I think you're trying to pull a fast one here.
Mm.
But just to keep it interesting, I won't say zero. Although in my heart of hearts, I believe it's probably zero. But I'll give them some credit. I think they played this song a grand total of five times.
Five times? Wow. All right.
Five times.
Kelsey, are you going to go six and really screw them up, or what are you thinking here? How many times do you think Van Halen performed Take Me Back?
Well, I was going to say five, so thanks, I guess. But you said they play, this is from the club days, right?
You know, we're not going with by that song, though.
Well,
we're
not
going,
that one. Yeah, that's
oh,
different.
That's right.
Yeah. Ooh.
I'll say three times.
Three times. Well, you got a short window for yourself there. Well, I tell you what, Mark Kammeyer. Oh, Mark, you're the big winner. You won both showcases. The correct answer, everybody break out your Ferris Bueller, nine times. They played it nine times.
No joke, dude. After I thought five, I almost switched it to nine just
oh, really?
So I could say nine times.
Nine times.
We love doing
number
that.
Number nine.
I wish I had. Damn.
Kevin Brown guessed 72. He was a little bit over.
72.
Yeah.
Ah, you dumb bastard.
Scott.
Well, yeah,
because
I was thinking zero too.
Yeah. Ryan Powell guessed 20.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm not going to play the game if it's zero. I think I did that once to Mark. If you'll remember,
you
Mark, I started
time,
playing
the
song.
Yeah, you did
and
that once to
it.
Us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, I don't believe you. I don't trust you. I was like, but okay. I love that. We were in the single digits. I think we both win for that one.
Absolutely.
That's, yeah. Nine times is still too many times, I think, and because just if it is true, and I don't know because we were not in the room, nor were we part of the process of them making the album. I don't know how Sammy was actually feeling towards Bruce Fairbairn when he rejected the lyrics twice. So for all I know, he could have phoned it in, or he was being as sincere as possible. But if he did phone it in, on record, I can't imagine he would enjoy it. Playing it live one time much less nine, so maybe he was did they do that on the album they were touring Balance
with? Yeah, and it was actually sandwiched in between Panama and the drum solo, so
that's
kind of a weird spot, right? Like if you want to go
a good spot,
you want to go from Panama to the drum solo, that makes sense. Why you're shoehorning taking back in there is kind of weird.
Who's in charge? Who's like the tour manager that's in charge of the touring or the set? Because that was terrible. That's not a good place for that song to go. Maybe that's on the boys, and if that's so, then bad form, boys. But what are you gonna do?
And also, like, there's so many other good songs they could have put on the set list. Like,
well, I mean, they probably did. This is probably like a 2-hour set.
Well, and
I guess, but still, I don't know.
I'm kind of looking at the set list here. Last time they played, it was in Blossom Music Center, Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. They kicked off with Amsterdam, and then it was Why Can't This Be Love?
Nice.
Then Big Fat Money, Top of the World, Not Enough, the bass solo, into Panama, into Take Me Back, into the drum solo, and then Can't Stop Loving You, Feeling, for some fucking reason, and then Give to Live, Ain't Talking About Love, the guitar solo, into You Really Got Me, naturally, into Jump, There's Only One Way to Rock, and then Dreams ended the main set, and then the encore was Seventh Seal and Right Now.
So
that's an odd.
It's
what?
A
odd.
Yeah,
that's a really odd choice of set. Yeah,
no Cabo Wabo.
No Cabo Wabo. No.
No Black and Blue. No Pound Cake. No. Huh?
Like no. Top
yeah,
of the,
out of all
no,
the
top
ones,
of the world
yeah,
deserves.
Just yeah. That,
no 5150.
No 5150.
No. No Dreams, no Summer Nights.
Dreams is there. Dreams is there. It actually ended the main set, yeah. But no Summer Nights.
That was a huge hit. They had to put that
that's
one
why
there.
I, that's why when I didn't hear that, I was like,
Right.
But,
so, yeah, well,
yeah.
No
in that regard,
political
so
blues.
Fair enough. Shame on you, boys.
Yeah, no Black and Blue. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Sammy made that set list. It's entirely possible because, yeah.
It feels
like
it.
He's well, like, look, I only have so many jobs in this band, so like at least let me do the set list for the live show. So
yeah.
And he threw that one in there knowing they would probably veto it if they knew ahead of time what the set list was gonna be.
Yep. And he's got his classic three Dave tracks plus Ain't Talking or plus You Really Got Me. He has Jump, he has Ain't Talking About Love in Panama. Those are like the three he did all the time when he had to do
maybe
tracks.
That's the compromise, that he had to do those specific Roth era tunes that maybe he didn't want to do. I can't imagine Sammy would have a good time doing Jump. So
no, he didn't like Jump. He had to do it because it was a hit, but yeah, he wasn't a fan.
Exactly. So yeah, he's like, if I have to do this shit, then at least do some of my shit. And I'm like, okay, sure thing, Sammy.
But like Kelsey pointed out, really, Take Me Back, that's the one you want to put in there? Like,
Yeah.
No, not good. Even if you're keen on this track, that's, you got to admit, that's a weird place to put it.
And, well, and that's such a down, like, I don't know. Just thinking, like you said earlier, like thinking what a Van Halen set is and like how high energy it is, like just such a weird, like,
yeah.
I don't know, vibe kill to throw this in.
Oh God. You
especially
go from,
after the drum solo, like how do you come back from the drum solo with that? Like,
well, the drum solo was right after. So imagine
it was before
this.
The drum solo. Yeah. Right?
Oh, okay. So, right.
But after Panama. Yeah.
But after Panama. Yeah.
So you go Not Enough, like the power ballad, right? Into the bass solo and then Panama. So you bring everybody up for Panama and then Take Me Back is right after. And it's like, wow. Like, don't you want to kind of ride that wave a little longer?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's not a good spot. So, well, you know, you live and you learn, and I guess they learned after 9 shows, and it was like, all right, we're not doing this
that
anymore.
Noise.
It's we're done. So, and there you have it, you guys. We've taken one more down off the wheel. We are charting into the unknown, and the unknown is what comes next. You know, it's like Corey and I know what comes next, but do you know what comes next? You can have a voice in the say so in what comes next, and you know how you do that? That's right, you go on over to patreon.com/podcastwillrock, join the Patreon, get on a tier that's right for you. If you see a tier that you're like, I wish this was a little bit better, I might actually fork up this amount of money, like, okay, let us know, we'll make it. We will make that happen for you because we want everyone to be included in this journey. And the people that are included, the ones that have already, been on the journey, they can attest to that. And I'll tell you who some of these people are. We have Matt Lacoste, Nate from the Deep Purple Podcast, Rava Flav, Josh Caldwell, Greg Zito, Michael Griffith, Chaz Charles, Sean McGinnity, Kevin Brown, Per Lineker, Scott Monroe, Ryan Powell, Jeff Brewer, Tom Armbruster, Scott Everett, Heath McCoy, Janice Risco, Brad Gould, Michael Triplett, Davey Lee Smith, Chad Pollock, Brett Parker from Dissect That Film, Jeff Fisher, Scott Haskin, and newcomer John Drake. Welcome, and thank you all for keeping us going. And a lot of those names you've heard before and time again, because they are part of the lurker chat. We get to they get to be a part of the recording process. They get to watch Corey and I do what we do, and if we have a guest like Kelsey, they get to throw in your input. So that's a perk with joining the Patreon. You get all these things, and you get access to the Discord, where the conversations are always happening. They're continuously happening, not just about Van Halen, but all sorts of things. And you can get your manifesto in on the Discord, and I will guarantee read it on the show, even if I stumble through it, because chances are I will. But it's the promise when we make. So get on board with the Patreon. And while you're at it, you guys, go ahead on over to podcastwillrock.com. All of our socials are there. You know, you can find us everywhere, or at least most everywhere. I try to be as active as I can, although I'm pretty lazy. I post the shows, and that's about it most of the time. It's okay. You don't need the conversation to go any further than that. And besides, the conversation is happening on Discord. Hint, hint. Anyway, but we're all there. PodcastWillRock.com. Also, all the backlog episodes, in case you missed it. There's a few of you that have just joined the journey now, and I thank you for that. That's awesome. But you got a lot of work to go, because there's a lot of shows you got to get to. So go ahead and do that. Also, there's the link to the merch store. Go on over, get you some merch, get you a t-shirt, get you a hoodie. I know the weather is warming up, at least over here, for a little bit, but it's still a wee bit chilly. They call it the false spring. And you need a hoodie to combat the false spring. And head on over to our merch store, get yourself a t-shirt design. It can also be made into a hoodie. And once again, I am asking you to please get you an Apologies to Gary t-shirt, because I just want to see the army grow of all of you wearing Gary Sharon on your chest that says Apologies to Gary. He'll notice it one day and he'll ask questions. And when he does, you send him to us, because we would love to have that conversation. That would be so, so fun. All right. And I'm going to throw it over to Kelsey, our guest, our honored guest, our honored host as well, because you've been a part of the show for a long time now. We always love having you. Thank you so much. Tell the people what you got going on and where they can find you.
Well, I was just thinking, has it been 2 years now since you guys have started? That's so crazy. Yeah. I was thinking about that today.
Over 2 years, yeah. Yeah. In November, it will be 3.
That's right.
Wow.
I know.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. Well, yeah, because I was thinking about that earlier today. I was like, oh my god, I can't even remember the first time I was on. I'm sure I could figure it out, but I was like, wow, this has been a fun little journey to watch you guys do this. I'm like, I remember when I first heard about it and I was like, oh, this is so cool, and now here we are. I'm an honored host. That's right. So crazy.
Absolutely. I mean, fan favorite. Like, we get tweets all the time asking, like, even if you've just been on the show, we'll get a tweet the next day. It's like, when's Kelsey coming back on? Like, I don't know, man. She's busy. She's got shit to do. It's just whenever she wants, whenever she feels like, hey, I can be on the show. Like, sure, come on over. It's fine. Just know you're very much highly requested. So, take that in stride, whatever that's worth to you.
Well, I'm honored to be here, and I will happily continue the journey with you guys. So, but yeah, like I always say, Kelsey Van Halen, my Twitter is probably the most fun. And yeah, I post about, I'm reading Crazy from the Heat right now. So you'll see a lot of David Lee Roth. And I was going to say this earlier, but I actually ordered that box set. So you'll be seeing some stuff.
Oh!
I got, mostly because of the laminates. I was like, I want one of those so bad. Oh, and the David Lee Roth poster. I've been looking for that forever. And I have all the vinyls, but they're all used. And so I was like, well, that'd be fun to have, like, you know, all the new ones, and I can hang them up and they're all pretty. And that poster. So, and hopefully I'll have it by the trivia and I can show it. But yeah, I just wanted to mention that. But yeah, if you guys want to see that, I'll definitely post about it when I get it. So Kelsey Van Halen on X or Twitter.
Do an unboxing so I can live vicariously through you, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to get it. So I'll just be jealous of Kelsey.
I was just about to say, Corey, he's like, you like that flex? She just flexed on you with that one.
I already ordered it.
I already ordered it. Boom.
I saw those laminates and I was like, for my job, we have like laminates that we wear around. And I was like, I absolutely will wear that like no other. So I was like,
I told you that the selling point was the laminates, Corey. That's why people wanted it.
Cause I have a collection of like shows that I've worked. So I'm like, be right in there. So, but yeah, no, I'll do an unboxing. That's such a great idea. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, I'll do that.
Oh, I'm so mad at
there
you.
There you have it.
I got you.
Look for the patron exclusive, the unboxing of the record packaging by Kelsey Van Halen with Corey just watching in envy.
That's right.
Good stuff.
We'll keep doing on here. Yeah,
I pay top dollars for that.
Why do you want to watch me
top
cry?
Dollar, yeah, if you want to watch Corey cry.
That's extra. But,
it could be. It very well could be. Like, Corey keeps whoring me out on the Patreon of like, if you do this, Mark will come to your house and mow your lawn. I'm like, I didn't agree to that.
Hey, yo. Okay.
Just like with whose lawnmower?
And I don't sing a song.
I'm not doing that. and sing a song whilst mowing your lawn. Like, yeah, that'll be fun.
A little cut off jean shorts. Absolutely.
I mean, I'll wear the cut. I don't need to be paid to
You're
wear
doing
the
that now. Yeah.
Shorts. I'll get like Hoochie Daddy shorts all day. Are you kidding me? That's what we do here in Nashville.
I was going to say, that's popular in Nashville.
It is. And oh boy, it's getting warmer. It's Hoochie Daddy season. So it's watch out. It's coming, you guys. Pun intended. I don't know. But hey, you know what, Corey? You know what's top dollar? all of the awesome podcasts that you can listen to that are a part of the great network called the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. That's where we come from. And if you like what we do, you might like a few other like-minded shows that dive into the catalog and discography of your favorite rock bands. Corey, let them know what they can hear.
All right, we even got a couple of new ones on this week, so stay tuned for that. But you can also catch myself and Kevin Brown at the Ultimate Catalog Clash. Season 3 is all about the first 20 years of the Foo Fighters, so you don't want to miss that. Kevin Brown also does a show on Tom Petty called The Tom Petty Project, and a Queen show with his buddy Randy Woods called Seaside Pod Review. Then we have Scott Haskin at Uriah Heep, The Magician's Podcast, Nate and John at the Deep Purple Podcast, The Simple Man at Skinnered Reconsidered, Terry T-Bone Matthew at T-Bone's Prime Cuts, Rye at Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Paul Joe and David at In the Lap of the Pods, Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge, Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z, Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Madman, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast, Ben and Sam at University Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast, George and Hattie at the Judas Priest Cast, Clay and Rye at North by South Podcast, Craig and Jonathan at So Far, So Pod, So What, Quinn at End Volume for All, Sam, Nick, Steve, and Mark at the Rock Roulette Podcast, Chaz and Greg at Regarding Lulu, Chaz and Shats at Rush Rash, Chaz and Wolfie at Regarding Roger, and Chaz and Scott at Regarding Van Halen 3, coming this summer to a podcast player near you. Then we have the Rewind to 1984 podcast, the Sean Geek and Fast Fred podcast, the DLR cast, the Bogus Otis Show, Booked on Rock with the legendary Eric Senich, You're All Doomed, a Friday the 13th podcast, Spinning the Wheel podcast, Dissect That Film, Three's Company 2, a rewatch podcast, and our brand new patron, John Drake, has a couple of podcasts himself, including Talking Into Infinity. That's a podcast about the band Dream Theater. And the Nerf Herder Council. If you know the term Nerf Herder, you know what that show's about. And, of course, our good friends at Pot of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting. This week, they did a Gorky Park song. Holy fuck, was that awful, but the show is can't miss. Chris Jericho joined him on that one, so you don't want to miss that. And, Kelsey, you might be interested to know, your first appearance on our show was almost 2 years ago. It was April 14th, 2022, episode wow. number 22, Judgment Day.
Oh man, that was a good show.
That was a great show.
What a
show.
Good track. Yeah. Look at that. We were almost there. We almost nailed the year, the 2 year anniversary. How about that?
Oh.
That's good stuff.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Well, if you love Kelsey, we're going to get more of her. Let's just run down the schedule real quick. Friday, April 5th, we're recording Trivia Night. Kelsey's going to be taking part as well as Mark and myself and about five other patrons. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Then after that, we have our For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge live ranking show coming up April 19th. Then we'll do a normal show. Then we're going to do the 5150 live ranking show. That'll be Friday, May 10th. And then we'll put in a wheel spin. That'll be T-minus five songs left on the wheel. Then Friday, May 24th, the 1984 live ranking show. So a lot of good stuff coming up in the next 2 months on And the Podcast
Absolutely.
Will Rock.
Absolutely. Remember to share your thoughts, your feelings about how you think we're doing, even if you don't like what we're doing. At least tell us you're listening. We like that. And once again, to reiterate that Corey and myself, and by extension, Kelsey, too, we're not rock historians. We're not experts on Van Halen. We are just humble fans talking about this band that we enjoy. And we're just taking the journey in a rediscovery of things that we didn't know before. Four things that we didn't maybe fully appreciate in the years past, but we do now, especially going down the catalog one track at a time, as we have been doing. And we are down to the final seven?
Six. Tonight was the seventh song, so we have six left on the wheel.
It's not March Madness, but it's an aggressively awesome April because we've got six left on the bracket. So be sure to tune in for those. Plenty of shows left to go around before we fizzle away. We fade away. Is it better to burn out or to fade away is the age-old question. I ask you that. You can get back to me whenever you want. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Mom Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.